and see so many friends that we met a couple years ago. It's been about 2 years since we were here. Met a lot of good friends, and it was good to see you guys this morning. I'm going to need some help. My wife wasn't able to make it. She sends her apologies. And generally, before I come to preach, she'll say two things to me. She'll say, speak slow and don't look so hateful. So she's not here. So if I look hateful, I apologize. It's the way I look. I can't help it. I look hateful. I met something that doesn't often happen as we travel the country, especially in middle Ohio. I met, you've heard me say that veterans wear hats and shirts and emblems and things like that so that they wear them so that we can recognize each other. It's not for the recognition. It's so when we're in a crowd, we can point out somebody that did what we did. And that happened to me this morning. I met a new friend, Thomas Brown. I was walking back here after Sunday school, and he had a hat on that had, these are submariner dolphins. So you have the blessing to be in the presence of two submariners in one place this morning. So Thomas back there, it's good to have you visit him with us, brother. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 11 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know, the purpose of church isn't to invite. I mean, it's good to invite lost people to church, but the purpose of church is to prepare the church to go out there and reach the lost people of the world. So we're going to focus on that a little bit this morning, is preparing the church, preparing us individually. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this message. Father, we love you. We praise you this morning, Lord. We pray that you'll cleanse our hearts, purify us, Lord. Fill us with the Holy Ghost and help us to be a mouthpiece for you this morning as we bring your word. Watch over us, protect us, and use us, we pray, Master. Amen. Okay, so we're in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and most every time we come to this passage, the main character is David, and the story is how David and Bathsheba committed adultery. And although I concede that there is extremely applicable lessons to be taken from that line, we often overlook one of the best examples of how we should live our lives as Christians. And it being Veterans Day, one of the greatest veterans who ever served in any type of military is explained in this passage. I want to revisit this passage and breeze over the David and Bathsheba issue. We can't help but mention David as we go through this. You just can't do it. You can't make it through without mentioning him in this passage. I'll make a few quick points on him, but he will not be, and that situation will not be the focus. Some of the summary of the chapter goes like this. For those of you who may not know, David is a warrior king. This is a time when the kings go off to war. David didn't go off to war. He stayed back and sent his army out. And while that was occurring, he had a relationship with one of the soldiers that, with his wife, that was off at war. Well, then there was a child conceived. And then David worked to try and cover that up. So that's the summary of it. Now, one might say, how can Uriah be an example for our life? I mean, he lost his wife. He lost his life eventually. That's not a very good example that I would like to have for how to live my life. But I promise you this. Uriah was honored in a way that you could only dream of. He was honored in a way. God gave Uriah the greatest honor that any warrior could ever possibly have. So, and we'll see that. I promise you, I'll show that to you in the very end. So let's look at verse 1. David wasn't where he was supposed to be. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon. They besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. We see that David wasn't where he was supposed to be. It was the time when kings go forth to battle. David was a warrior king, and for whatever reason, he didn't go to battle. He didn't go with the folks that he was supposed to be with. We will see that although he would have been in the midst of a battle, on the battlefield, with his brothers, it would have been safer to be there than where he was at. It would have been safer to be out there in the midst of that fight than what happened. When we aren't where we're supposed to be, it makes us more susceptible to the enemy's temptations. It makes us more susceptible to the enemy's tactics. And we're just, we'll find that, we'll see that play out here with David. At this juncture, David could have went in two different directions. He could have gotten right, repented, and moved forward, or he could have tried to hide his sin, and that's what he did. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. Uriah, on the other hand, was a trusted warrior. It says in verse 6, and David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. Well, it didn't seem abnormal for David to want to know. You understand the reason David's doing this, but it didn't seem abnormal for David to want to know how the war was going. He was a warrior king. He would have wanted to know, hey, how's things going out there? And there wasn't a telephone or a radio at that time, so they sent Joab back so he could find out. It didn't seem abnormal for David to ask that the message be sent by Uriah, because Uriah wasn't just any soldier. Uriah was one of David's mighty men. Over in chapter 23, there's a list of 30 mighty men that David had in his army that were trusted men. They were the best of the best. Brother Thomas, I believe today that if Uriah lived today, he was the best of he would have been a submariner. Best of the best, right? He was top notch. He was one of David's mighty men. They'd proven themselves in battle. When David was hiding from Saul in the caves, those guys were there helping him. Those guys were the ones. They came up together. When they conquered kingdoms, it was those guys that were with David. When they expanded Israel, it was those men who were his trusted confidants, the closest ones to him, the ones that he trusted with everything. Those were the men that were there with him. Those were his mighty men. Now think of this. It goes to the power of the enemy that a warrior like David would even consider killing a trusted warrior brother to cover his own failure. But that's precisely what happens when we're not where we're supposed to be. It opens the door for the enemy to have power over us when we're not where we're supposed to be. It opens the door for the enemy to do things in our life that we would never dream could possibly happen. And that's what happened here with David. So Uriah was a trusted warrior. Look at verse 8. Uriah, in contrast to David, was where he was supposed to be. Verse 8. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house. And there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all his servants of the Lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, Uriah says this unto David. He says, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go down into mine house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? As thou livest, he says, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And David said unto Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out and lied on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down into his own house. We see in this passage the contrast, don't we, between David and Uriah. We see a contrast between what it looks like to be directed by the enemy because we're not in the place we're supposed to be, and what it looks like to be directed by God because we're in the place that we're supposed to be. Due to the enemy's guidance, David was so concerned with his desire to cover his own sin, he couldn't. He was controlled by the enemy so much so that he couldn't understand why Uriah wouldn't go down and do what he wanted him to do. He came home on liberty, if you will, and he couldn't understand, because he was being directed by the enemy, how he couldn't possibly want to fulfill himself in this passage because he was directed by the enemy. On the other hand, we see Uriah, who says he couldn't possibly go home. He wouldn't have gone home for anything. Uriah, on the other hand, directed God and couldn't possibly go home, while he knew that his brothers, and he knew that the ark, and he knew that his leaders were deployed on the battlefield for the Lord. You see the difference we're talking about? You getting it? You understand what I'm saying? David, controlled by the enemy, was only concerned with himself and covering his own tracks, although he had such a bond with this warrior. Uriah, on the other hand, controlled by God, where he was supposed to be, couldn't possibly think of being anywhere else because he was being controlled by God. He was in the fight. He had a connection. I have a connection with this brother back here that we don't even have to mention because we wear the same badge. That's what David and Uriah connected with. But he turned on him. I met him 20 minutes ago. He's already, I can say I'm closer to that guy than lots of folks in Ohio anyway, living in South Carolina. But David had that relationship with Uriah, but you see, because of who was controlling the two of them, that there was a problem. Something else was going on. Another very important piece of this is that it gives us some insight into Uriah's character, is that the scripture seems to want to make sure that we know Uriah was a Hittite. Yeah? Uriah was a Hittite. And this goes to Uriah's beliefs, right? The Hittites were a pagan people that the Israelites took over when they went into the Promised Land. They worshiped idols and all kinds of other things. So when Uriah mentions this, when Uriah says, hey, the ark is out on the battlefield, That means something. That tells me something about Uriah. It tells me that he just wasn't following some culture that he grew up in and he was serving because of that. It tells me that it wasn't just, this is what I'm supposed to do in my church and I'm going to go do it just simply because that's what I'm supposed to do. It tells me that Uriah was legitimately concerned because he was a converted believer. He was in the fight because he believed about what he was fighting about. He specifically calls out, hey, the ark is out there. I can't come back here and lay around. I need to be out there with my brothers on the battlefield. And then we see David's statement to Uriah when he says, I will let thee depart. That gives me some insight into Uriah's urgency about getting back out there on the battlefield. When the king says, I'll let you depart, that means that, hey, he's wanting to go. He's wanting to get out of here and get back where he's supposed to be, because he was being led by God. He wanted to be where he was supposed to be. And that statement from David, I will let thee depart on the morrow, tells me, hey, the king's holding him back there. Now, one could speculate that maybe Uriah found out about David and Bathsheba, and that's why he didn't go back to Bathsheba. But I submit to you, based on Uriah's character, anyone who believes that doesn't understand the bond of a warrior. Doesn't understand the bond of the warrior. And I truly believe this. If Uriah knew, because of his warrior mentality, if Uriah knew what had happened, he probably would have went to his wife to protect the king and to protect Israel and to protect God, because he was a warrior. He's the kind of guy we're celebrating today. I truly believe he would have went back. So, let's look at verse 14 through 17. And we'll find this. We'll find that Uriah gave his life for the King of Glory, not for King David. And it came to pass, beginning of verse 14, and it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto the place where he knew that the valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Wow. Joab and Uriah believed that King David was being directed by God. They believed that. That's what their history told them. They had seen God do miraculous things when they followed David's direction because they believed that David was being directed by God. Even when it didn't make militarily, didn't make sense, Joab and Uriah did what David told them to do because they believed that he was under God's direction, and they had seen this pan out a number of times. When David directed Joab to have Uriah killed, Joab didn't question it. He didn't even question it. He had done things that seemed crazier before because David told him to and God was telling David what to do. He didn't even question it, although he knew militarily it made no sense. Uriah was an experienced warrior. We've talked about that. He had been in the heat of battle. He knew what was going on. So when he got his battle assignment that day, he knew what the probable outcome was going to be unless the Lord stepped in. He knew that he was walking into a bad place. He knew that what might happen to him. But he trusted David because he believed David was being directed by God, just like he was being directed by God. So we see, because David wasn't where he was supposed to be originally, it made him and those that he was responsible for leading susceptible to the enemy's tactics. Man. When we're not where we're supposed to be, it leaves us and those that God has put us as responsible for leading susceptible to the enemy's tactics. Uriah was an honorable soldier who trusted God and was exactly where he was supposed to be. David was not. Uriah is the kind of guy we honor here today. He gave his life for the King of Glory, not for King David that day, because he was trusting in God, even though that it messed him up there in between. Now, I told you that Uriah had it rough, didn't he? But he's a dedicated guy. And I told you this. I told you that God honored Uriah. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. Do you understand what I'm saying about being controlled by one and being controlled by the other and how it makes you do things differently? You understand how we're responsible for those that God places under us to make sure that we're being controlled by God instead of the enemy? Let's look at this. In Matthew chapter 1, we see from verse 1 all the way through verse 16 that the genealogy of the Savior is recorded from Abraham all the way down to our Savior's earthly father, Joseph, right? With one exception. Look at verse 6. Matthew 1, verse 6. And Jesse begot David, the king, and David, the king, begat Solomon of that had been the wife of Uriah. Uriah was the only non-blood relative listed in the genealogy of our Savior for eternity. I will take that over the Congressional Medal of Honor any day. What an honor that the Lord chose to put this valiant man, this warrior, in the place of his genealogy, the only non-blood relative for eternity. What an amazing, amazing thing. That statement that honored Uriah for eternity, you know what it also did? It marked David for eternity. Who is leading us? Who is leading in our lives? For eternity, because he decided he wasn't going to be where he was supposed to be, he's marked for life. For eternity, because Uriah was where he was supposed to be, he's honored for life in the Lord's genealogy. Guys, ladies, it's important for yourself, for the mission, for those that you lead. It's important that you're where you're supposed to be so that we can get the directions that we need to get, so that we can progress our lives in the way that he wants us to progress them, so that the enemy doesn't have the ability to influence our lives as he would if we're not there. You know why God gave us this place? To prepare us, to give us support, to give us direction, so that when we go out there on the battlefield, we're able to serve him and lead those that are around us properly. This is the place where we're supposed to be. It's set up in Scripture that this is the place that we're supposed to be. And guess what? It's not only the place that we're supposed to be. This is where we're supposed to be progressing the mission. This is where we get our support. This is where we get our knowledge. This is where we get our ability to go out there on the battlefield and serve him the way that he wants us to be served. But we have to be in the place where we're supposed to be in order for that to happen. And if you're not here and you're out there, you're not in the place you're supposed to be. And we obviously see what happens then. The enemy that David faced alone when he wasn't where he was supposed to be can do so much more damage, guys, listen to me, can do so much more damage than any physical enemy we ever faced on a battlefield or at sea or any place else. This enemy that we face, think about this. This enemy that we face had the ability to pull a third of the angels that have been in the presence of God away from heaven with him because of the temptation that he's able to incur upon him. He's more powerful than you are. He's more powerful than I am. We have to be in the place we're supposed to be in order to get the help we need. If David had been in the fight with the men that God gave him, he wouldn't have been susceptible to the enemy. And if you're here in the fight with the men that God has given you here, you will be less susceptible to the enemy. Who has a problem in their life right now? Let me ask again. Who has a problem in their life? It's a little better, but there's still some liars. Look, where do you get the help for the problems that we have in this life? From the guy who created this life. You folks who are in the military, you know what a standard operating procedure is. This is where we read the standard operating procedure for how to operate this life. And if we're not here reading that procedure, expect the problems that you have. I encourage you to be one of God's mighty men. I encourage you to be a Uriah. Be where you're supposed to be. Get in the fight. And be dedicated to defeating the enemy. Otherwise, you're a prisoner in this war. And those raised hands that we just saw are the result of being a prisoner in this war. We need to depend on him. Give it to him. He wants us to give him those problems and then get in the fight. Don't worry about the problems that come up. Just do what I tell you to do. But the key is to be where you're supposed to be. And we've made that evident here this morning. Pastor?